Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call for CeMac Limited, hosted by Arihant Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anmol Das from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Hello and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the maiden earnings call of CeMac Limited for Q2 FY24. From the management today, we have Mr. Naveen Mohta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Vinay Agarwal, CFO, Mr. S. N. Mohanty, President, Corporate Affairs and Legal Services, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relations Head. So without any further ado, I will hand over the call to Mr. Vinay Mohta, Whole-time Director, for his opening remarks and commentary. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of CeMac, I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants on our first earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2024. Today on this call, I am accompanied by my colleague, Mr. Vinay Agarwal, our CFO, Mr. S. N. Mohanty, President, Corporate Affairs, Legal and Company Secretary, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relations. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through our quarterly results and investor presentations that we have uploaded on exchanges and on the company's website. Since this is our first earnings call, I would like to begin with some background about the company and our business. CeMac is a part of Agarwal Group, which was established in 1964 under the visionary leadership of the late Professor Agarwalji, an able parliamentarian, philanthropist, an educationist, and an industrialist, a patriot, and a devoted social worker. CeMac operates in two distinct verticals: offshore subsea support vessels and bulk carrier charter business. CeMac has a diverse mix of assets in its portfolio, like diving support vessels, accommodation barges, and bulk carriers. As the leading provider of offshore oilfield services in the subsea segment, the company has five diving support vessels and one barge in the offshore subsea support business, wherein the vessels are deployed in the domestic as well as international market, and has an extensive experience of providing specialized services covering inspection, maintenance, repairs, and remotely operated vehicles, subsea construction activities, to name a few. These activities require specialized vessels along with well-trained crew and diving team having extensive experience to handle such complex activities to ensure seamless operation for E&P companies such as ONGC, Aramco, ADNOC, etc. We also have three bulk carriers under our subsidiaries, including step-down subsidiaries, that provide the marine transportation services of dry bulk materials such as food staples, commodities, and industrial products, etc. CeMac was originally incorporated as PLS Leasing Private Limited in 1986. In 2001, it became part of the Technip Group and was rechristened as CeMac. The company was subsequently taken over by HAL Offshore Limited in 2014. HAL currently holds around 70% of company share. HAL Offshore has an experience of around 25 years and is a leading end-to-end solution provider of underwater services and EPC services to the Indian oil and gas industry. Following this acquisition, a comprehensive transformation of the vessel has taken place, and this is geared towards facilitating sustainable business expansion and improvement. I would now like to briefly explain the industry for the benefit of all. The oil and gas sector in India plays an important role as India's economic growth and is directly proportional to the energy demand. India, as you know, is the third-largest oil consumer globally after the United States and China, with 36% of the country's energy demand met by oil and gas. India currently imports about 85% of oil and about 50% of gas that it consumes. While there are various players in crude oil exploration and manufacture of refined oil and related products, ONGC being the largest, we are the preferred partner in maintaining their oil fields. As ONGC continues to harness its substantial oil reserve, it is expected to continue exploration for more than three decades. and our unwavering commitment to ensuring the smooth functioning of these assets is poised to be a long-lasting and mutually beneficial collaboration. This partnership is not only a testament to our reliability, but also a strategic alignment that positions us as a pivotal contributor to ONGC's enduring success in the dynamic energy sector. There is general perception that our business falls under the shipping industry or the oil sector. I would like to take this opportunity to clarify our position. We are not impacted by the volatility of crude oil prices, as this is primarily taken care of by the customers who utilize our charter hire services. It is important to note that our primary focus is on charter hire that drives our business growth and profitability. Moreover, a substantial portion of our business operates on long-term contracts spanning from 3 to 5 years. This deliberate emphasis on charter hire and our commitment to long-term partnership contribute to the stability and resilience of our operation, setting us apart from businesses solely reliant on fluctuating oil prices. Despite the nation's fervent commitment to advancing green energy initiatives, particularly in the field of wind and solar power, the anticipated economic growth in India remains a driving force. As a result, the demand for oil in India is forecasted to experience substantial growth, potentially doubling by the year 2045. In particular, the demand for diesel is projected to reach 163 million metric tons by the fiscal year 2930. This surge in demand for diesel alongside a concurrent rise in gasoline consumption is expected to collectively account for 50% of India's total oil demand by 2045. We remain confident in the long-term outlook for offshore energy and have invested in a disciplined way to enhance our fleet and strengthen our market position. We are a trusted partner in the rapidly evolving industry as we consistently provide solutions that work to improve safety and prevent risk for our clients, and would continue with the hard work going forward to create value for our shareholders. We would like to express our gratitude to all our stakeholders and employees for their unwavering support and dedication that has helped us grow as an organization. I will now request Vineji, our CFO, to share the financial performance.
Thank you, Navinji. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our earning call for Q2 FY24. I would now take this opportunity to decipher the financial performance of quarter 2 of financial year 2023 and 24. Our standalone revenue for Q2 FY24 is rupees 77 crore compared to rupees 87 crore in Q2 FY23 and rupees 190 crore in Q1 FY24. This represents a 12% decline on a year-on-year basis and 60% drop on a Q-on-Q basis. This has been mainly due to the reason that one of our vessels, CMAC 3, was under dry dock during the reported period and hence was non-operational. Q2 being monsoon season, both CMAC Princess and CMAC Glorious Barge were off-hire during Q2. EBITDA on a standalone basis for the quarter stood at Rs. 31 crore compared to Rs. 46 crore of Q2 FY23, which is down by 33% on year-on-year basis and on sequential basis down by 48%, which was Rs. 60 crore in Q1 FY23. While year-on-year decline is mainly due to non-deployment of CMAC 3, also there were certain unproductive expenses on CMAC Princess and Glorious Barge, which were on off-hire due to monsoon season. For the quarter, EBITDA margin is at 40% compared to 53% in Q2 FY23 and 31.4% in Q1 FY24. The decline in Q2 FY24 is mainly due to the fact that CMAC 3 was generating higher margins in Q2 FY23, which was under dry dock during the reported period. Profit after tax for the reported quarter is Rs. 2 crore compared to Rs. 16 crore in Q2 FY23. And Rs. 45 crore in Q1 FY24, that included exceptional gain of Rs. 13 crore on account of sale of CMAC talent in the previous quarter. Our gross debt is Rs. 196 crore and net debt is Rs. 20 crore as at 30th September 2023. Currently, our ROCE is 10% and ROE is 8% on TTM basis, which is lower mainly due to weak H2 FY23 numbers. We expect the same to improve in the coming period as the operations are back on track and expected to improve. With this, I conclude and would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Jeet Gala. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning, sir. Sir, I have a few questions. Since we track shipping sector very closely, I just wanted to understand if CMAC is a smaller version of GE Shipping with respect to having two segments broadly. One is having a shipping fleet, which in our case is a fleet of three bulk dry bulk carriers, and you have another fleet which services to the offshore rigs and other oil assets. So I just wanted to understand broadly the nature of the business, because we understand GE Shipping. So I just wanted to, you know, quickly have a word, I mean, confirmation that are we a smaller version of GE Shipping?
Okay. CMAC and GE Shipping both operate in similar kind of vertical. GE Shipping is also having an offshore fleet. We are also having an offshore fleet. And GE is also in bulk carrier and this thing. So in a way, we are both in similar verticals, but there is a marked difference in the focus area of CMAC and GE Shipping. While for CMAC, that offshore contributes the majority portion, almost around 75% to 80% of the revenue mix, which is not the case in case of GE. And even in case of CMAC, we are into that niche area of diving support vessels, which is at the top end of the offshore shipping cycle, while GE Shipping is providing supply vessel and platform support vessel. So per se, we are into similar kind of vertical, but there is a marked difference because the niche area where we are operating is more sophisticated.
Understood. So my next question is, say, on the offshore asset, since 75% of our earnings come from the offshore fleet, sir, I wanted to understand. So what I understand, these contracts are usually a long-term contracts. And we've seen the prices of, you know, offshore assets are increasing because of the supply constraints and, you know, no new rigs and offshore assets coming for a long time now. So I just wanted to understand, when will the repricing of the CMAC assets happen? Because these contracts are usually long-term. So what really is the strategic point from a CMAC angle is repricing going ahead. So do we have majority of our fleet, you know, ready to be repriced in the next 6 to 8 months?
No. If you look at it, when you are working on a long-term contract basis, you cannot take that kind of advantage of that wild fluctuation in the market. And offshore fleet are normally not traded like the main fleet, bulker and this thing. So we intend to keep our fleet, and our new contracts are going to be online. So that will take care and advantage of the firming up of the charter hire prices. But per se, fleet is going to be used for earning charter hire.
Okay. I wanted to basically understand, where will the uptick from the revenue come from? So one is repricing. And since you said repricing is not going to be a major uptick, given, you know, these are long-term contracts and we do not operate in a spot kind of a market. So where will the majority of the uptick in the revenue come from then?
See, so the majority is going to come from the new contract which are going to be entered and executed over a period of next 2 to 5 years. So we have, you are aware about it, if you are tracking the company's posting on the Bombay Stock Exchange and NSE, that there are contracts which has been awarded recently. So these are going to be executed over next 2 to 5 years. So which are going to be the driving force for the revenue.
Understood. So these contracts are for the assets that we already own, right? Or you are going to purchase new assets for the new contracts?
These are already owned vessels.
Okay. So you mean that the existing vessels are probably unemployed and probably going to find employment with these new contracts. Is that what you mean?
No. It is. These are not unemployed. These are now rechartered on the newer contracts.
Okay. So technically it's going to get repriced through new contracts.
Correct.
All right. And sir, lastly, most of the shipping companies, even across the globe, who operate in the shipping as well as offshore assets, they tend to, you know, report the numbers in form of some NAV. So would you have an NAV calculation that you can, you know, share with us?
No. At this point of time, I don't think that will be possible.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on the age of the fleet assets that we have on the offshore, what is the kind of the age of the asset profile that we have? I mean, do we have modern assets or even our assets are old age and will probably have higher costs, like you said, with regards to IMO and other norms? As the fleet gets, you know, older and older, you have a lot of other compliances which, you know, add up to your cost. So just wanted to understand the age profile of our assets.
Okay, so we, if you go through our age profile of our vessel, so three of our vessels are like offshore vessels I'm talking about. So three of our offshore vessels are built like around 82, 83 and 84. And we understand that, okay, we need to bring down the age of our fleet. So we have taken a proactive steps of acquiring newer assets over the last 2 to 3 years. So which has resulted in acquiring the three vessels which were built 2008, 2007 and 2006. So we are conscious about our age profile of the fleet, and there is still we are looking for some more kind of vessel. If there are opportunities in the market, definitely we will be looking to acquire more vessels if there are good opportunities available. So we are constantly looking for these things to keep ourselves updated on the age and as well as the technology and regulatory framework.
Understood. Sir, I have a lot of other questions to understand exactly how CMAQ works. So I'll probably, you know, get in touch after the con call. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any other follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Jainam Gilani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for this opportunity. I'm a bit new to the company, so please pardon me if my questions seem too basic or a bit repetitive.
If you'd like to cancel this request, please press star zero again.
Hello. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, we can hear you. Please continue.
Yes. So I just have a few basic questions. So what is the current industry trends on the dry bulk material industry as well as the offshore industry, if you could just share that? And like whether there are any new investments coming up and how do we take advantage over the long term?
You know, as regards to the dry bulk, as you know, this is a very cyclic in nature. Both ups and downs goes on. Last 2 to 3 years, dry bulk was very soft. Now, after it is being picked up, so this likely to increase and it is going to be stabilized. So, but the commodity trade is also predicted to be on a very rapid growth. So, we hope that the bulk as industry will have a phenomenal growth. Over to Navin on the other one.
Yeah, on the JNM, on the offshore, as you might have heard from even from the previous question that, okay, offshore industry is quite an uptick and there is global shortage of all kind of offshore assets, whether be it vessels or drilling rigs and all these things. So next 5 to 7 years going to be really good for offshore segment. And that's why we are taking this period to enhance our fleet and take advantage of the uptick in that segment.
Please continue with your question.
The current questioner seems to have dropped from the queue. So the next question is from the line of Mr. Ayush Chaturvedi. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
So Firstly, to begin with, if you could throw some light on, you know, how the working capital cycles are in oil extraction support services and freight transportation.
So, as Mr. Navin has already explained that we are not into oil and gas industry as per se. So we are into offshore support services, and we are not impacted by the oil prices. And so far as working capital of CMEC is concerned, this is in very comfortable zone. We are in getting a debtor cycle of around 45 days, and same is with our creditor. So it's more or less on net basis, it's 50 days.
Okay. Okay, so it's around 50 days in
1.5. This is on net basis.
15 days.
Right.
All right. Oh, that's great. And what are, like, general terms with, you know, the vendors and the customers like? So what are those cycles?
The customer cycle is about 45 days billing cycle to our customers. And with regard to the liabilities, the creditors are generally paid in 30 days. So therefore, the net working capital cycle is about 15 days.
All right. That's great. Okay, so, my next question is, if you could, you know, throw some light, if you could explain what the revenue mix currently is, and, you know, how it's expected to pan out in the next.
So when you say revenue mix, you are talking about dry bulk and offshore, or?
Yes.
So currently, our revenue mix is about 85% of revenue comes from the offshore activity and 15% from dry bulk. As we have strengthened our DSV, that's the diving support vessels, we expect that going forward, 90% of revenue should be from our offshore vessels, and 10% should be from bulk carrier.
And is there any very, you know, difference, significant difference between the two segments? So as to, you know, get a sense of how the margins could develop.
Yeah, absolutely. So, since the offshore support services are niche services, there we have a higher EBITDA margin compared to dry bulk, and therefore we are focusing aggressively on that sector.
All right. Okay, great. That's encouraging. Thanks a lot. If I have any more questions, I'll join back the queue.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Simar from Negen Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, and good morning, everyone. So one of my questions was already answered by my previous analyst regarding the age of the vessel, since I know most of your vessels are around 30 years plus. I wanted to know, there are two vessels. One is your CMAC Princess and the CMAC III, which recently underwent dry dock, and CMAC II and the Paladin are under deployment. So I wanted to understand, what is your turnaround time for these vessels which are under dry dock? When do you plan to, when are they going to be deployed?
Okay. See, as a practice, when these vessels are not on long-term contract, which requires 365 days of work, what we do is that during the monsoon period, which is a lean period, and when these vessels are not working, so we carry out the dry docking during that period. So there is no loss of operating days for these vessels. So CMAC Princess, CMAC III, both of them have been are dry docked during this period only. Like, CMAC III was dry docked recently during the monsoon period, and CMAC Princess and CMAC III, both of them will be now working to take advantage of the start of the working season.
Got it, got it. And what about the other vessels? You have, I think, five deepwater sea vessels and three bulk carriers.
And for the other vessels like CMAC II, which are on long-term contract basis, so the turnaround time is roughly around 60 to 70 days from start to finish.
Got it, got it. So there's another question regarding your subsidiary.
Here, what I would like to supplement is that this period of dry dock, normally the contract provides that this period will get added at the end of the contract. So if we are committed to have a 730 days contract or a 3-year contract or 5 years, this off-hire period gets added at the end of the contract. So practically, we work for that many number of days only.
Got it. Yeah, I could see that 121 days is your the domestic deployment. Yeah. So the another question I have regarding a subsidiary, the CMAT Nirman Infra subsidiary. What kind of opportunities do we see in the EPC and tunnel projects?
This is a venture we are going for the, I would say that this is a maiden venture. This we are, you know, the tunneling project. First we are starting with a tunneling project, and as a first measure we have taken a small tunnel that has been through awarded to L&T by National High Speed Rail Corporation for that PM's ambitious project of the high rail speed bullet train from the Ahmedabad to Bombay. So in the Bhapi sector, that is about a 300 meters tunnel, that is we have taken as a first measure, and the project is likely to be completed around the first part of the 2000 next year. So this is the first venture, and then this will give an extension to move forward.
Okay. So how much revenue do we think we can get from this, and how much, what is the like margin profile in this particular project?
This is a small project, so what we are expecting of a contract is along with the GST, it will be about 27 crores.
Got it. All right. So I'll get back in the queue. I have some other questions.
Thank you,
and happy Diwali to you and your management.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, can you share what is the net asset value you think of your assets now?
See, as I told earlier also, net asset value as such cannot be shared. And in our segment, this net asset value is also not of any kind of relevance, because we are not into buying and selling of these vessels or trading of these vessels. So this is not of any kind of relevance for our working for that. If you have seen the asset profile, all these vessels have been with us for quite a long period. In fact, CMAC 2, CMAC 3 has been with us since 1993, and vessels are being added. So per se, this NAV is of no book values are already balance sheet.
Okay. Can you just share the last asset that you bought, the Swordfish, CMAX Swordfish? What would be the price of these assets? So the last three assets that you bought, what is the combined price of these three assets, Paladin, Swordfish and Glorious?
There
is a lot of disturbance from your line, so...
So, repeat it again.
So, I am repeating it. Just to begin with, we have bought CMAX Paladin in 2021, June 21. And
sir, that detail I have, when you bought, I just want to know these three assets that you bought, what is the price that you paid for these three assets combined? So,
17.2 million we have paid for CMAX Paladin. 17.2 million.
Okay.
And 24 million USD we have paid for CMAX Swordfish. And 25 crore for CMAX Glorious.
Okay. My second question is, so these are six ships which I can see on the offshore support side.
Right.
Which of the contracts are getting repriced now, which will start flowing in to your numbers over the next four quarters?
Okay, so CMAX Paladin, which got a 5-year contract and is already executing this, so this started on this year, so that will go on for 5 years, so that is there. Then accommodation bar CMAX Glorious is also has got a 2-year contract with ONGC, so that also it has commenced from October 30th this year. Then Swordfish is already working with the charterers, James Fisher, and we are negotiating for further charter for this vessel, and demand is quite good for this vessel actually in Middle East. So that is also going on. So as and when something comes up is finalized, we will definitely convey to exchanges, and that will, you will come to know about it. But vessel continue to remain engaged so far.
So you said C-Mac Palladian and C-Mac Glorious have got a new contract, right?
Correct.
5 year and 2 year, and everything else remains on the contracts which are not supposed to be repriced in the next 1 year, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It will be going on the contract, so it is right now it is with Swordfish and new contracts are negotiated.
Sorry, Swordfish new contract will come. Hello.
Mr. Cheda, there seems to be a lot of disturbance which comes from your line, because of which it is difficult for the management also to...
It's my line or it's their line? Wait, now, okay.
It's from your line, sir.
Okay. So, just I'll try and ask again if it is possible. The C-Max Swordfish you said will come for contracting now, right?
Right.
Okay. And everything else, C-Mac 2, C-Mac 3 and C-Mac Princess, there is no contract to be seen over at least next 4 months, 4 quarters.
C-Mac 2 is already on 5-year contract, which is going to be completed by 2025.
Okay, and C-Mac 3 and C-Mac Princess?
They are also on the existing contract till next year.
Till next year means next year end?
Till May 2024.
Okay, May 20. So these two ships are on old contracts. These three ships basically are on old contracts.
Correct.
Okay. Because why I'm asking specifically, because the contract prices have moved up by a minimum 50 to 100%. So the flow of the newer pricing for these three ships will flow in from FY25, because they'll first go into a dry dock or something, right?
Not all the time. This all the vessels go for dry dock. And as I told you, the price and dynamic, these are quite dynamic in nature. So not necessarily 50% or 100% hike, but yes, we expect a strong momentum for these vessels.
Okay. Lastly, sir, these three ships, or let's say the two contracts which you got revised, Paladin and Glorious, which are revised for 5 years and 2 years, what is the pricing up move that you saw?
No, the pricing, etc. has been already conveyed to the exchanges and it is already available in the public domain. So, for the upside, there is nothing because price is already tied up.
Okay. Okay, done, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for this.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Rajan from AMS Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Thank you so much for hosting the call. I have a few questions. I'll start with the first one. In offshore shipping segment, sir, are we expected to add any further vessels going forward?
Rajan, this is an ongoing process. So, as I told you earlier, we are continuously looking for good opportunities. And there will be addition as going forward.
Okay. Any material progress or things that we can call out in that that part? Anything that we are expected to add?
See, there are the discussion going on for buying some supply vessel, for which already we were notified to exchanges. So that is already there. And apart from that, as and when something concrete materializes, so that will be definitely conveyed through normal channels.
Understood. My next question is that, sir, ONG plans to invest a lot of amount in the medium term, almost $4 billion. So, what kind of opportunities do we see from this investment from ONGC?
See, this is what I've been telling, that ONGC is spending so much of money to shore up their production, and our business is linked with that. And even if there is no further investment by ONGC, because we are maintaining the existing facilities. So even if there is some kind of drop of oil prices is there for some time, nobody is going to shut down their production. So this maintenance work will anyway continue. So as and when whatever ONGC is going to put up new facilities, it is going to add the opportunities for us where we can increase our assets and we can deploy it with ONGC.
Understood. And sir, before I get back into my last question, sir, could you please explain or update what is currently going on in the steam arrangement with HAL right now, HAL and CMAC? If you could please update on that.
Yeah, this scheme is at present it is in hold. The various modalities are being worked out, and once something comes out and we make a concrete decisions, then it will be notified to the exchange. It will come to the public.
Understood. Okay, I'll get back in the queue. I have a few more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Anmol Grover from Albatross Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have three questions. So ONGC one, I had a simple question, but that was answered. My other question is, ONGC plans to invest about $4 billion over medium term, right? So can you quantify what kind of opportunities can we see from them?
See, it is not possible to quantify how this pie is going to be spent by ONGC and how much we can take into that. But as I told you, the more ONGC spend, the more facilities they want to install, the more opportunity it creates for us, because we are into this repair and maintenance of these facilities. So the more these facilities are created, the more will be opportunity for this repair and maintenance will be there.
Okay. So, to rephrase my question, if I ask you that if ONGC plans to invest, say, $1 billion, right? So how much of an opportunity or business can we get out of that value? I mean, just to get something.
Anmol, it is very volatile right now. If they spend $1 million in the existing facility, maybe there is no new opportunity. However, if they open fresh oil fields for exploration, then definitely there will be IMR activities required for the new field, and then our services will come in play and our opportunities will come in picture.
Okay, okay. My other question is also on ONGC only. So, could you please share some more details on the long-term contract with ONGC? And I believe we've been doing some modifications in CMAC Paladin to make the ONGC contract. Can you share some light there?
Okay. So, all the contract what we are having with ONGC are normally for 3 to 5 year basis. The one for the barge is for, of course, for 2 seasons, but it is kind of again on rolling kind of basis. Last year also we were having this contract, and now it is for 2 years, again for 2 years. So these are long-term contracts. As for Paladin is concerned, Paladin, as I already told, it has been already put on contract and it is working with ONGC. So whatever modification were required to meet ONGC requirement has been done, and it is working with ONGC since April this year onward.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. One last question is that recently we won a long-term contract of $32 million, the contract for CMAC and Supreme Hydro Engineering. Can you please share some more details on that if possible?
This, as I told earlier, the vessel, this contract is for 2 years, and this is a kind of rolling kind of contract. We earlier also had a contract for 2 years for this similar kind of job, and presently this is being executed, and this contract has been awarded by ONGC again at a value higher than the one which was last time only.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I really appreciate, I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way this is the first time the company is holding the investors conference call. This is the first time we have put the investor question. So I really appreciate the way the company is coming back.
Thank you.
In these kind of times as well. So I'm having just two questions. One question is like, are we having any short of medium term, short term vision or plan to carry forward the company in next 3, 4, 5 years? You can see Maximax. And second question is, I think so that we have misguided, might be misguided as driver or not, I don't know. But I think so that we have not communicated well the investors with regard to the demerger. Earlier the demerger intimation came. For 1 year, the process was on hold. Then the demerger was like, no intimation was changed. Then again, the board meeting was scheduled. After a few days, the board meeting was postponed. So whether the demerger is called off, whether the demerger is still on the table, if you can please give a clear guideline or a direction on demerger, it would really be very helpful for the investors and for me as well.
Thank you. So, Raman, first I'll take your first question. You would see that initially we had 3 vessels, and in last 2-3 years we have added another 3 vessels. Okay, so we are very hopeful that over next 3 to 5 years there will be a growth momentum that will continue, and we expect growth both in top line and bottom line on a CAGR basis to ensure long-term value creation for our stakeholders. I hope that answers your first question.
Have you quantified this growth in value terms? Are we targeting any sort of like top line?
I would say, on top line, the CAGR growth would be about 12%, 10 to 12%, and in the bottom line, we should be targeting about 15 to 18% bottom line growth on a CAGR basis in 3 to 5 years scale.
Okay.
And just to clarify for the larger audience, as we spoke, this dry dock is something which comes within 1 year and particular quarter. This may create some quarterly variation, but on an annual basis, we seem to be on track in terms of the growth vision that we have enlisted. Okay?
Great.
And now Mr. Mahanti will talk about the steel.
As regards to the merger and the reverse merger, both the occasions, as you rightly said, is that we went and notified to the exchange, but later on it was kept on events. I mean, but as regards to the stock exchange, there is a time factor by which if the proposal is not finalized, then it is dropped. So this is from the management side, it is being relooked. Working out the various modalities and the observations received earlier, and based on these things, when it will be appropriate, it will come to the scheme, with the scheme.
Mr. Mohanty, I think so. You have still not answered my question. My simple question is whether the demerger is still on the table or called off, because this kind of communication which we are giving from last 1 year is, like, I think so, misguiding the investors, because so sometimes that the demerger is again coming, now the again got postponed or called off. So whether that still is still on the table, or can we expect any sort of announcement in the next 3, 4, 6 months or the near term, or whether the
Raman, as of now, the scheme is no more in place. Okay. There were certain observations that were raised. As Mantiji said, we are looking into that, and we assure you that once it comes up as a fresh proposal, we will take it from start to finish. I hope I answered your question now.
So whether any near-term, medium-term plan for within 6 months or a year that the fresh proposal may come?
Raman, at this point in time, talking about this will be again a forward-looking statement, which we would like to resist. But yes, we are hopeful that we do all the right steps for the stakeholders, and that is one of the plan which will be notified whenever that comes in picture. But this time when it comes, it will be done from start to finish. Okay?
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Rajan from AMS Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Rajan.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question again. So, I wanted to understand what kind of guidance are we looking for going ahead? If this is repetitive, I'm sorry, I missed that part. But what kind of guidance are we looking ahead?
So we, basis our business going forward, what we expect is a 10 to 12% growth in the top line and about 15 to 18% in the bottom line over 3 to 5 year scale.
And sir, on the debt portion, how are we going to keep a structure going ahead, long term and short term?
So Vinayji will talk about this.
So, as of now, 30th September 2023, we are having a gross debt of 196 crores and our net debt of 20 crores. So out of this 196, this is all long term. There is no working capital loan. There is no requirement for working capital. And we are very comfortably positioned to service our all long term debt in a on due date. So there is no need for taking any further loan unless we are planning for any capex. Whenever there would be some capex, we may look for options for raising it through term loan or through internal process.
Understood. And so we recently acquired Arya Organic Industries. So what is the rationale for that? What exactly is the company doing?
Okay. See, the RI industries right now, what we have taken, it has got a underlying asset, that it has got a area, land area which has been given by MIDC. So that area we intend to develop for the purpose of building up our capabilities for storage, warehousing and further fabrication. As we go and venture into the newer areas like EPC and fabrication and all these things. So this is a kind of asset we have acquired for a captive purpose and for enhancing our capabilities.
Understood. And sir, on dry bulk material shipping and also extraction part support services, sir, who are our competitors in the segment respectively?
See, dry bulk is a field which is an ocean kind of thing. So there is no competitor kind of thing. If you look at it, that there are one or two major players like Maersk and all this. But apart from that, there are so many, hundreds and thousands of companies which are having 1, 2, 10 kind of these things. So if you have got resources, you can buy the vessel, put it into the market. So there is no known competition or something like that in that segment.
Understood. And the final question before I get back in the queue. So going ahead, the revenue mix between oil extraction services and ocean trade, how do we see this panning out going ahead?
So as we said earlier, right now the mix is 85% on the offshore services and 15% on dry bulk. And since we have strengthened our offshore vessel support system, the revenue mix will be 90% towards the offshore services and 10% towards the dry bulk.
Understood. Sir, on offshore services, we are charging the rates per day wise, or how is it being charged?
Yes, the rate, the charter hire rates on a day basis, and they are christened in dollar terms.
So can we know what are the current rates going on average for all the vessels, if we could give us an average figure?
Because this is a bidding process system, so we would like to desist from revealing the rates. But yes, there has been a rate hike in all our previous contracts, and the market is picking up, that we can say.
Understood. Okay. And sir, this is one final question.
Notified to the extent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll get back in the queue.
The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Bottoms Up Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, sir.
Hi, sir. Just have one question. So, what are we doing in the diving support services in the oil and gas industry? And if you can also throw some color on who would be our main client and the contract and revenue recognition process.
See, in the diving support services, the vessel is equipped, these diving support vessels are equipped with specialized equipment from where the diver goes under the water up to like in 80 meter in Bombay High, and it can go up to maybe 130, 200 meter also in various other places. So diver goes underwater and carry out the maintenance of the assets which have been installed by a ENP player. So there are pipelines which carry out the crude from Bombay offshore to the shore. Then platforms which process these things. So all these assets which are all metal, these things are there. So which have this environmental issue on there. So to maintain the asset integrity, all these vessels are required. So we have got the biggest fleet of DSV on this side of the world. And all these are working directly or indirectly with the kind of ONGC as of now. Similarly, our one of other vessels is also working in Middle East with indirectly for the Saudi Aramco.
Okay, got it. And sir, how does the revenue recognition work?
Come again?
The revenue recognition.
So basically, these are a monthly revenue rates where whatever services we provide for the month, we multiply that by the day rate and bill it to the customer. And that's the monthly revenue recognition.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Anmol Das from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. I have a couple of questions. Like, what is the current industry trends on the offshore industry and the dry bulk material industry in terms of, you know, your pricing, freight charges? because about a year ago we were seeing a lot of volatility. So want to understand that.
Okay, Anmol, this as I earlier also mentioned, this at this point of time, offshore industry is going through a very good pace. So all kind of offshore assets are fetching very good prices. Trend is also going to be good for next 5 to 7 years, as is so many research agency etc. Everybody is predicting. So that is going to be good this thing for offshore industry. And same is also holding good for even the dry bulk segment also, because the way things are now after this COVID, these things are opening up again, economy is picking up. So this offshore segment is going to be, this dry bulk segment is also going to pick up slowly, and this is going to be a good time to be in the shipping industry right now.
Okay, thanks sir. And sir, other thing is regarding any medium term capex planning that you have, and you know, purchasing any new vehicle vessels, and the amount of capital that may be required for that. Any guidance on that?
See, company continue to evaluate its opportunity. We do not want to buy on speculation basis, so we continue to evaluate and match that where opportunity is there. Then we try to assess that if we can buy some assets to meet that opportunity. So it is a kind of ongoing or dynamic kind of evaluation we carry out. So as and when something materializes and we think that okay, it is safe and good for that, going to fetch good return for the, all the stakeholders, then we will go for that. But it is an ongoing and evolving kind of thing.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for taking your time out and connecting on this call. We hope we have been able to answer most of your questions. We would continue to engage with our investor. So anything that is left, you can reach out to our investor relation agency for further deliberation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.